a lot of preaching these days. We need to be told some things. See, the problem with society is they don't want to be told anything. See, discipline has its place. Amen. I'll be in Luke chapter 7 in a minute, but this is by way of introduction. We need some discipline about ourselves. We need some standards. Amen. Since I was 19 years old, well, before that, my mom and dad was disciplinarians, but I really seen the light when I got into the military. Everything was for a purpose. Yeah. 9 weeks of getting transformed, amen, into a soldier, and then everything we did had a task and purpose. Everything we did had a manual, amen. You had a manual how to wear your clothes. You had a manual how to address people. You had a manual how to use your weapon. You had a manual how to knock on a door, believe it or not. You had a manual for everything. Now let's go back to a child of the king. We got a manual, my friend. And we can live by, amen. We can stand on it. If you don't know how to love your wife, this manual will tell you. If you don't know how to love your neighbor, this manual will tell you, amen. If you don't know how to walk right or talk right as a Christian soldier, this manual will tell you that. I don't need nothing else. Hey, this is where the rubber meets the road. I thank God that I'm in a hell-hating, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church, amen. Don't you? I know some friends of mine that went, hey, they went into the Pentecostal and they went into Catholic and by way of the, and they finally came to a fundamental Baptist church. I'm glad that a fundamentalist, a Bible-believing preacher told me about Jesus Christ, and I was raised in a fundamental church. I ain't ashamed to tell nobody about that. I thank God I didn't go by way of this way and go by that way. I thank God for it. You need to thank God. Young and old need to thank God. That he put you in a Bible-believing church and you got some preachers here that don't mind telling you that what thus said the Lord. Amen. I thank God for that. We're going to be here. We're going to talk about, hey, Jesus is starting his ministry out at Capernaum here. And he ran into a centurion soldier here. I want to preach a little bit about faith today, amen. There's something in this passage of scripture. But boy, I say, I wonder why he told this man this. But we're going to see today. I want to help you on your faith today, amen. I need help sometime. Yes, sir, I need help. I've been saved for 30 years and I still need the help of God. If you get to a point that you have arrived, you better watch it. Amen. Because you ain't growing no more. You like stale water, amen. Hey, I want to be water that's flowing, amen. We need to be water that's flowing. Let me show you something here. If you stand out of the reading of God's word, I'll get into this so I can let Pastor Angel get up here and preach the word of God. But let me show you something here. Like I said, in Luke chapter 7, he says, now, put my glasses on. Sometimes I need them, sometimes I don't. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. He was on the deathbed. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, whether thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That's significant there. I got it underlined in my Bible. We got to challenge ourselves. See, that's a challenging quote. This character, this centurion, you had Almighty God, Jesus, saying, now, listen to me. He just don't say words. Words mean something, especially when God says it. He said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together and just, Lord, worship you, sing about you, preach your word, dear Heavenly Father, be encouraged by it. Lord, we need help in the area of faith, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, show us why this man, you said, had so great a faith. No, not even in Israel. You seen something, Lord. I want some of that. I want to see that, what that was. Because, Lord, we understand that you chose us to be a soldier to please you. Everything we do, we need to please you, Lord. And we want to please you. Lord, help us tonight see that. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we see here in our passage of scripture, the main character is Jesus, of course. The second character here is a centurion soldier. That centurion shows humility before God. He shows the courage to go to Jesus, the confidence in Jesus. The centurion also shows compassion for his fellow soldier. Faith is a demonstrative, practical, applied confidence in the testimony of God. I say it again. Faith is a demonstrative, practical, applied confidence in the testimony of God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance, and that substance is matter, body, the stuff, the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence, that's proof of things not seen. Faith of the gospel is that emotion of the mind which is called trust or confidence exercised towards the moral character of God. Hebrews chapter 11 says this in 6, verse 6. But without faith, It is what? Impossible to please him. I don't know about y'all. I might not please nobody in here, but I want to please God. And if I please God, well, you take it up with God. Amen. You know, years ago, I knew this. I knew one thing about leadership. Matter of fact, when I left the military, they had a hook in me, so I had to go up to Eisenhower Hall and teach leadership for 7 years, 1 weekend a month. And that was all right. It didn't affect my meetings or anything. I wasn't going to do it, but I said, you know what? They need a preacher on that team. Amen. Hello.
Yes, sir. Come on.
So I had an opportunity, amen. I had an opportunity to make a difference like Joseph, amen. He had an opportunity to make a difference, didn't he not? And God took him from the pit to the palace and made it a difference, didn't he not? Be careful. God, we just want to be in God's will. Amen. And wherever he got you, it's all right because you in God's will. So I preached. I went up there and I taught that thing. But let me tell you something. God did that thing. And it pleased him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you pursuing God? I don't know why y'all here today, but I'm here to, learn more of God. I want to be like God. I want to be like, the image of Christ, right? Christ-like. We should want to be more like Christ. Hey, I got to learn. If you struggling on loving your neighbor, get an old book. This society is struggling on love today. It is. Turn on any television. As a matter of fact, you ain't got to go that far. Reach in your pocketbook and get your phone out. Get a piece of paper. Hate. Don't get me wrong now. Division come when you got sin in the camp or when you got sin. Sin divides.
Yeah, that's right.
But let me tell you, love brings it together if in fact we do it right.
Yeah, right.
I ain't going to love your sin, but I'm going to love you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about your sin.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So this faith thing, we got to step out on faith and realize that God has given us the instruction book in order to lead us in where he wants us to be. We see here in this passage of scripture, we've got a character, and I want to kind of explain to you what this and who this and his background of this centurion. A centurion was, I'll tell you what. A centurion was like Delta Force, Navy SEALs, Special Ops, Secret Squirrels, all wrapped up into one. Lean, mean, fighting machine. I'm serious about that. Just listen. Imagine the fear motivated by a detachment of Roman legions marching into your village. I want you to remember, just imagine this. The ground rumbles beneath 100 soldiers armed with swords, shields, and armor. As they move down your street, the entire unit moving as one. Not one soldier thinking of his own choices, but moving as a single entity. Alongside rides on a proud stallion is the centurion. Distinguished in attire and character, he is one who worked his way up through the ranks of merit into a position of trust and authority, seasoned by battle, enforcing law in hundreds of villages throughout the empire. His eyes are filled with a deep knowing. I've seen men like that, y'all. My leaders, bless their heart. When I came into the military in 83, was Vietnam veterans that had a break in service and came back because they wanted to be a part of something that was so larger than themselves. All the experience of warfare they wanted to share. I mean, hey, some people need to tell this story. And some veterans of Vietnam need to hear it. I appreciate you.
Amen.
You cannot, listen to me, what I learned from them men, you cannot get it in a book.
Right.
Hear me?
Amen.
The reason why I can sit here and exercise my First Amendment rights is because of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Let me tell you something. We need to stop bashing my military.
Yeah.
I don't care how wicked it is. We got some remnants in there that's going to, hey, keep us in order to get behind this pulpit.
Right.
It's going to call, it's going to take a force. You got people right today. Give me a second to let you know what's happening. Because I live this life. You got boys right today sitting locked and loaded on an airfield waiting for something to happen. I lived that life the first 4 years of my life. Didn't know where I was going, but I was ready to go somewhere to fight. Let me tell you something. I had a little old wife. Staying in a trailer house outside of Fort Bragg. Ready to fight anybody that came against the United States of America.
Amen.
You got boys like that now. This is not free. So a whole bunch of killing went on. That's why I preach like I preach, because I see through the eyes of the things that I've been through, the people that has gave everything.
Yeah. Amen.
Some folks didn't even know why they was doing it, but they did it anyway.
Right.
Need to thank God that we can do this, and we can do it to the best of our ability. Look here, this centurion was that soldier. A deep knowing. He was a charged and a duty to carry out. It's a little more by the opinion of any man. He said, well, he has a charge and a duty to carry out and is a little moved by the opinion of any human being. You know what? When I was in uniform, I didn't care what the politics said. I was taking care of my soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, ma'am. Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's get through the fight.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't even want to see a politician. That's where I'm at, y'all.
Right.
People want to talk and bash, and ain't spent a day in uniform. Ain't did nothing. Ain't had a bullet cross that crack. Ain't had them chills in them. Hey,
right. Come on.
You can't talk to me.
Amen.
Centurions was hard, experienced soldiers, skilled at killing. Most were enlisted men, promoted through the ranks after 15 or 20 years of service. The centurions was promoted by showing acts of bravery and valor. being first over an enemy wall, the first to breach the enemy's defense. The centurion kept good order and discipline within their unit, ensuring that their soldiers were ready at all times for battle. You got people out there dealing with some people that's been on Ritalin all their life. I was talking about that at lunch. We had to deal with that mess. We had to be fathers and mothers. You got people in the military, male, female too, to these people to get them conformed, transformed, so they can fight.
Right. Yeah.
That ain't no easy job. I'm going to tell you right now. So our major know he back there too. So what we want to look at is this faith.
Yeah.
Why did God call this episode or said this in verse 9? I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. That's a lot of space there.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, we're going to have this soldier of faith is to have courage. Have the courage to say no to self and yes to God.
Yeah.
You know, some people are so full of themselves, they don't want to ask for help.
Right.
They don't even want to go to God with it. They don't want to go to man of God with it. That's not courage. Have the courage to say, I'm in need.
Yeah.
That's where the power is at. I need help, God. Remember yesterday, if you was here in the service, I talked about David and how when he took over the throne, he went in Rephidim, and we had the enemy after him, and the first thing he went was to the hole and got a hold of God. That's what we got to do. This centurion had the faith. And don't get me wrong, he was a Gentile. Gentile didn't have nothing to do with Jews.
No.
So he had peer pressure and everything else. But he said, no, I got a soldier that's going to die. And the only one that can save him is the great healer.
Amen.
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 That's what he said here. But let's look at Luke chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Verse 7, it says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed.
Right.
So not only he showed courage by going to him, he also recognized God. He recognized who God was and humbled himself before him. He is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He's Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the great healer. He is Jehovah Nisi, the great banner of victory. The soldier said, I am not worthy, amen. You know, that's a woe is me moment, amen, in Isaiah. Hey, I am not worthy to be doing anything, God. Show me the way. Lord, show me your mighty power. That's what we need to be. We try to figure out on our own and we make a mess of it. But he says, show me, God. I'm not worthy to even come to you. That's what we need to be. That's what the power is at. Humble thyself before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up, amen. That's where the power is at. It ain't, hey, today's society is so selfish, it's just sickening. It's me, 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 I.
Yes, sir.
That ain't God. I don't care if you're a politician. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a pew warmer. That ain't God.
Amen.
God said, humble thyself before the mighty hand of God. You seen Joshua yesterday. I preached about him in Joshua chapter 5 when he knew, recognized God as who he was, the captain of the Lord of hosts. Guess what? He fell on his knees and worshiped him. He said, you on holy ground, take off your shoes. It wasn't because of the ground. It was because of who was there.
Amen. Good.
People don't respect the man of God, not in the house of God. We better get that right.
Amen.
God is in the house. We better get that right.
Amen.
We need to realize that God is a holy God, a sovereign God. God need, he want to show, we need to show him humility before him. We need to show him humbleness. So number one, we see we need the courage to go to God. We need to recognize him as God. And number three, we need to be a soldier of faith is one who have confidence in the Lord. Let me show you something here. Let's go to Matthew's, same area, Matthew's chapter 8. Matthew's chapter 8 and verse 9. 8 and 9. Matthew's chapter 8, 8 and 9. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Let me tell you something. You had a man that knew order. You had a man that knew if somebody was in charge, he's got all power.
Right.
He's got all power.
Yeah.
He tell you, do something, do it. No, ain't asking no questions.
Yeah.
Just get up and do it. See, we got a lot of people that's asking a whole bunch of questions. Sometimes it ain't time to be asking no questions. When they come down from headquarters, it's time to move. If we know something in this book that we ain't doing, well, we need to get it done. I ain't no well if and up nothing about it. If he says, do it, that means let's get it done. If he said, love your neighbor, that's what he mean.
Yeah. Right.
That wasn't just 2,000 years ago. That was in 2023 too.
Amen. Amen.
If he said, love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that's what he mean.
That's right.
Husband, wife, submit to your husband. That's what he means.
Yeah.
Children, obey your parents. That's what he means.
That's right.
We talking about the old paths. That's the fundamentals of the faith right there. That's the problem we got today. Nobody don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah. Right.
They want to buck authority. Everywhere we go, we got buck authority. Now, there's something wrong with the police. Now, there's something wrong with the all kind of agencies. Now, there's something wrong. I tell you what's going on. You're getting conformed to this world.
That's right, yeah.
Not transform. This Bible transform. If it's authority, let God work it out. But if it's authority and he tell you to move, she tell you to move, then you need to move. We just seeing stuff, and then we seeing this media is conforming people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to an evangelist, had dinner with him. And he said, well, I heard statistics said that 97% of blacks is Democrats. I said, well, let me tell you something. You're looking at one that's not. I don't know where you're getting your Democrat. I ain't a Democrat or a Republican. Now I done flushed both of them. I'm a man under the authority of God.
Amen.
They got to meet. Look, men got to meet God. We ain't got to meet no political party.
Amen.
We got to meet God. It's one nation under God.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes,
so it's God and country. Set your affections on things above and not of this world. We're not going to get anything done horizontal. We got to go vertical.
Amen.
Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God is on the throne, amen. It's no political party. It's no America on the throne. God is on the throne, amen. And he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
I'm going to be like that until Jesus come. I'm going to be like that. I tell folk, I ain't looking for meetings. You know my greatest time I have is out on them streets preaching. That's the greatest time I'm having, is out on them streets and in prisons where people have lost everything.
Yeah.
They in the mire, repent, and they looking up. Let me tell you something. I got a couple of stories, and then I'm going to shut it down. But this one man, I'll never forget, in January, I was in Abilene. This man was 53 years old. And he had been in and out of jail for all his life. And I'll never forget, I came into the pod. He was sitting up there on that bench, his bunk, top bunk, and he was just smiling. He had a smile. He had a smile big as he wanted to be. And I beelined to him. I said, you sure happy today? He said, you don't know the story. He said, I've been in and out of jail all my life. This is the first time in about 2 years that I've been sober. I've been on that meth for half my life. That meth had him. He said, you know what? God put me here. I got saved, amen. I got sobered up, and I'm the happiest man in my life. 53 years old, done lost everything, but he's happy in Jesus, amen.
Amen.
See, we got a problem out here. People think they're okay. Laodicea, ain't it? Huh? But God said, you're wretched, blind, and miserable.
That's right.
Am I right about it, church? So what we got to do, sometimes God puts something in their way, amen. Hey, a wrecking ball in their way. An old preacher, big mouth preacher, hem them up, amen, on the streets. And lead them to Christ Jesus. Just like Brother Angel, hey, wrap one up in on the airplane coming over here. He's going to tell the story anyway. I don't want to tell his story. He wrapped one up. But let me tell you, God is still saving souls.
Amen.
We just got to be faithful enough to be soldiers, get out there and do it.
Amen.
Amen. So we got to recognize God as and be humble, and we got to have confidence in God that he going to do what he says.
Yeah.
Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consists. I think that's everything. He's the shot caller. He is running things. Amen. My God is still alive and well. Amen. He's alive and well. He's moving and he's soon to come. He's soon to come. As men wax worse and worse, God is soon to come. We got to be about our Father's business. So this thing of faith, and I'm going to close. Why did the Lord say what he said in verse 9? I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Well, I'll tell you why. You had a man that knew what authority looked like. You had a man that wasn't a Jew, but he was a Gentile. You had a man that God looked upon that could have went some other way other than his way. But he came to Christ. He humbled himself. He had the courage to come to him. He recognized him as sovereign, as holy, as all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. Yeah. You remember he said, just say the word. You ain't got to come to my house. Just say the word.
Amen.
Ain't that faith?
Amen.
We need soldier faith like that.
Amen.
Just say the word, Lord. Just say the word. Word means something. His word means something.
Yeah.
That Bible is the powerfulest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Just say the word. Just say the word. God said, look. He said, he grabbed a man. Come here. Come here, brother. Illustration. He grabbed a man and he said, hey, I have not seen no greater faith. No, not in Israel. They knew who the centurion was. He helped them in the synagogue. They knew who the centurion was. He wanted to show everybody that this man was a faithful man.
Yeah.
You can be saved. Do you have faith that God can brag about? I want to be like that.
Amen.
I strive to be like that. Don't you?
Amen.
I strive to say, I ain't seen nobody no faithful than Brother Lawson. I ain't seen nobody no faithful than his church. I ain't seen nobody better faithful than you. I hadn't seen nobody. I want that in my life.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Hey, I don't come to church just to get tickled by the ear. I come to church so I can say, hey, I want to be more like Jesus.
Yes.
We need to realize that this man, he was just a man, but he knew authority. And so he knew that if he called on Jesus, that's a done deal.
That's right.
That's a done deal. Soldier faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you.